Kane again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah! Goal!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, I'm Charles Commins. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast for Northampton Town fans, and of course, the FSA Club Podcast of the Year. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's still in our hands, and those hands belong to Danny Brothers, Neil Edgerton-Scott, and Chezzy Coleman. Hello, guys. You okay?
Yes. Tremendous. Yes. Charles.
Good.
My hands have been... I was about to say lubricated.
Careful.
Right.
My hands have been moisturised by today's results, Charles. Monday.
Space, face.
I like that. Yes. your indication, Charles, is that it's in mine, Danny's, and Jeffrey's hands. Oh, well, we have no say in it.
Well, I beg to differ, Neil Edgerton-Scott, because earlier today, as we were, you know, trying to work our way through Monday afternoon's games, you turned the telly on and havoc ensued.
Yes, I did. I turned it on, and probably 30 seconds later, Port Vale scored.
Shocking.
So then I turned it off, and all things worked out well.
Exactly. So therefore, in your hands.
Good point.
Oh, dear. It's going to be a good pod, I can tell. Let's start with Saturday. Let's start with the 1-1 draw against Exeter. All of us were there,
which
meant our Twitter feed was very quiet.
Full house.
And oh, what a day. I enjoyed Saturday. Did you guys?
I thought it was fantastic.
Had a lovely old time, yeah.
Yeah. Great day. Great day out.
Lovely time. Apart from your daughter, Charles, essentially assaulting me and Danny, but aside from that, great day.
I thought you handled yourselves exceptionally, both of you.
Thank you. Yes.
I lost stand up bingo though.
Oh. You did what?
You had about 20 tickets, Jeffy.
I did have 20 tickets.
I saw your picture.
You had all the tickets, Jeffy. How did you lose?
I know.
How did that happen?
But in more positive news, I won the raffle.
Hey!
Ooh, what did you win?
I won, pretty cool, a vinyl turntable record player that's USB ported as well. So it was proper snazzy.
That's a great prize.
Fantastic. Yeah, I was like, this is brilliant.
Prizes at stand-up bingo just keep getting better. Look
well, no, because it wasn't for stand-up bingo. It's for the raffle, Charles.
Next time, a speedboat.
What, to get me from
like Bullseye.
Tom Cliff's special prize.
I reckon that if I had a speedboat, I could get to Barrow quicker than I could drive it.
How long does it take from watch it?
It's going to be about 7 hours.
Oh,
a track. Well, effectively, I mean, poor old Malcolm Butler has got to go further than me, but it is pretty much from one end
to the other.
Yeah, he'll get the train up for free as well.
Five hours 30, Jeffy, I've got on the road.
Nah, not with my driving.
and if you take, you've got to take into account, you know, a little sneaky stop for a wee here, a little sneaky stop for a pasty.
Krispy Kreme, yeah.
You've got to have a pasty.
Sustenance. Nah. That's what it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. It's sustenance.
Yeah.
The Gloucester services are too close for an early stop, aren't they?
For me. That's 2 hours from me.
Oh, is it? A quality service station.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I go there purely because I want to go there, not because I need the toilets.
Yeah.
For a day out.
Yeah.
To be fair, we have driven there before on the way to Diddley Squat Farm.
I can't believe I'm hitting this button this early.
The Further Adventures of Jeffy.
It's essentially Teletubby Land. It's Gloucester Services.
Yeah, it's so good.
I don't think I've ever been.
Oh my God, it's incredible, Neil. It's literally
another kid. Come on.
Damn.
I mean, it will drain your bank balance like hell, but.
What's there?
It's like basically what it is the Harrods of service stations.
It's essentially a lot of organic stuff and a lot of homegrown, local, produce-y type thing.
Oh, lovely, Jeff.
It's got a nice lake, though.
Not going to lie, though. Yeah. I don't want that from a service station.
What do you want, Neil?
You want KFC.
KFC, yeah. Burger King. Other fast food places are available,
you
obviously.
You won't be getting none of that down there.
A Wimpy, yeah. Or
Wimpy.
a Costa or a Starbucks. I went to get a nice coffee.
Yeah.
A Ginster's pasty.
Brilliant.
Ginster's, not Ginster's.
I used to pronounce it Ginster's, and then someone corrected me and said, no, it's Ginster's.
Nah, wrong.
Oh.
There you go.
Podcast at cobblers2me.com. Okay,
let us know. Yeah. This is like, who was that football? Who was that player we had when we... It was Good, wasn't it? Good or Good?
That was one of our first podcasts.
That player we had?
Yeah.
I spent a good half an hour discussing
Good or Good? Is it Good or is it Good?
Oh, dear. He was there on Saturday.
Yeah. Yes. Did you see on the Twitter, he liked a tweet throwing shade at Peterborough.
Did he? Yes, I did see that, actually. Yes. Brilliant.
Please, do him respect.
Absolutely loved it. It was a great day on Saturday. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, myself, Neil and Danny all met up outside of Carsbad. Jeffy, you did come over. Unfortunately, I think you missed Neil and Danny, didn't you?
I found Danny at the end of the day.
Oh, you did?
But
good.
I was far too busy enjoying myself in hospitality, which, can I just shout out the club, because they are just incredible. Every time I go into hospitality, they can't do enough. And often it's a thankless task, isn't it, when you're trying to serve people food and drinks and stuff, and you just want to enjoy the game, and often they're the in the back seat, really, aren't they? They're not really able to take in the game like we are. So well done to all of the Cobblers staff. They're just fantastic, all of them.
What was the menu, Jeffy?
So we had I had soup, chicken and truffle, which was amazing. Ooh. Ooh. Sean had liver pate, lamb and cheese and bacon. He said it was brilliant.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was really good.
Outside, Jeffy, our menu was beer or cider.
Well, you say this.
Or Guinness.
Yeah. And
or Guinness.
Yeah. You say this.
Haribo.
What's the Haribo?
Amelia had some.
Yeah, she wouldn't let us have any, though.
Oh, yeah.
I had some snuck in my bag, but I was saving it for the match.
Understood, yeah.
So, you say really this, though, boys. We drank the poor hospitality staff dry, honestly. They had to change so many barrels, the amount of alcohol that was consumed on the table.
Just your table.
Yeah, just our table. We were.
How many barrels did Sean have?
Many, many a barrel.
Oh, dear. I wanted to say, actually, on the shout-out thing, I really enjoyed... Six Old Sound, is it, outside of Carsbar?
Yes.
Bar?
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was good out there. I mean, my highlight was seeing all the Exeter fans coming down the hill,
yes,
escorted by the police. And
traffic cones. They were in traffic cones.
Some of them were in traffic cones. Yeah, they got a nice rendition of what the is that. yeah, welcoming. We welcomed each other, didn't we? Loudly.
I'd left the Carsbar by then to go and meet my mum because she came on Saturday.
Right.
But she was stood by the ice cream van, which was right by where the Exeter fans walked past. And she was, oh, I'll just record this. This will be a nice one. And then all you can hear me in the background is going, fuck off. She was like, Neil.
I do love that, though, as well. Them all being marched down. Were they in Tavern before?
Yes,
the tavern was full of Exeter fans. Yeah,
you'd much rather that than 30 Harrogate fans inside,
yeah,
don't you?
God, yeah.
God, such a good atmosphere before the game. I mean, you could tell it was pretty jovial for the most part as well.
Yeah, no trouble at all. It was great fun.
No, everyone giving it the big un, but but it was
just that bravado, isn't it?
They're Devonians. They're just full of cider.
I mean, let's be honest, most of them have never been to Northampton before, because usually when we play each other, they bring about, 100, 200 fans max? So
I mean,
to have brought 1,450, it's brilliant.
I will take, I think they did get a little carried away with booting the advertising boardings down. But that was a bit unnecessary.
Mm.
And smoke bombs, it was annoying, but I get it. We'll probably do it at Barrow, so.
Will we? You're not going to take them, though, are you?
Yeah.
Personally, I'm not.
Don't you take
not personally, no. I wouldn't know where to buy one from.
No, neither would I, to be fair.
But I'm sure someone will.
I'd probably go to the wrong place and end up with like a paintball grenade.
Or an actual grenade.
I don't think I'd go that wrong. Just turn up with, we won't go there.
I did think that, because they didn't even release the smoke bombs when they scored, did they? Was it just?
Yeah, they did. I think. Yeah,
one of them when they scored.
Yeah, yeah. There was
because I think it was even. Off. It was either Fraser Horsfall or Liam Roberts actually went and moved them off the pitch.
It was Fraser. He was furious. Yeah.
He wasn't happy, was he?
No, he was not happy.
But then again, wasn't happy with the. Should we talk about that? Got their goal first. Their equaliser. Seeing as we're there, I mean, first of all, obviously we thought we'd scored. And I mean,
still undecided.
We were wrong.
Yeah, we were wrong. Yeah.
I bumped into Kelvin after the game.
First name terms.
He said that he'd been in and seen the video, and it wasn't offside.
Mm.
And
it was a lot closer.
I believe
it's a lot closer than I thought.
Yeah, but it's.
It's one of those. Yeah. It was very close. I mean, I was directly in line with it, and I'll be honest, I couldn't really tell you whether it was off or not, but instant reaction was, why was he giving offside for that?
So, yeah,
no, it wasn't clear. I was still in my seat because I thought that's offside.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I was a bit more elevated than you, I think.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, always.
But
it's one of those because where I was sat, I would never have known if it was offside or not. I mean, I loved it. So two of our patrons sat behind me, Gareth and Valerie, both of them going a few times, you know, saying that's offside, or you know, or, sometimes they were calling it right, sometimes they were calling it wrong. And by right or wrong, I mean the linesman actually flagged for it. But I was thinking to myself, how can you tell from this angle? We were. As we are looking, we are behind the goal in the north stand, right on the right-hand side, closest to the west. And I was thinking, there's no way that you can see any offsides from
they
there.
Sit there regularly, don't
but
they?
They do. I get
they've
that.
They've probably
that
got used to it.
Say, but still, how can you tell? I mean, these people are just genius.
In fairness, I shout offside all the time. And
yeah, I do too.
Looking at the game. So
yeah, I do too.
It's just the standard go-to. It must be offside.
Yeah, yeah, true. Fair enough.
I think the
traffic lights.
Offside. Yeah. No, offside. Get back.
I think the irritating thing is the manner in which their free kick, in inverted commas, was taken. I think that was dubious. But what I do have to say on it, though, is that regardless of the manner in which they scored, I think they would have scored. I don't think we'd have been able to sustain that.
And no,
although
I think we
it was, I think we deserved to win. I think we created more, and I actually think we played better than them. I think they are by far and away the best team we've played at our place. And I think we were almost a little bit unlucky with when we were playing them.
Well, because straight after promotion, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I've got a controversial take on their quick free kick.
Go on.
Fair play.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah.
We tried something similar and would have been through 1-1, but we were offside.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah,
the referee didn't blow up and say, no, retake it. He blew up because we were offside. So it would have been a goal if we hadn't been offside. So it's kind of like, I get it. You know, look, we were caught short and stuff, but it's one of those things. It's a bit like, you know, you've still got time to stop it further down the pitch, and it's that sort of thing when people moan and say, well, it wasn't a free kick. Yeah, well, defend the free kick. So
absolutely right. One thing I will say about the whole thing though is that my overriding feeling, it almost felt like a bit of a defeat, which was a shame because we'd worked so hard. But the one thing that I felt is that I just felt gutted for them. I didn't feel cross with them because normally when we've lost or we've drawn in that kind of manner, I'm furious and I can't get rid of that anger in any kind of way other than being angry at them. I wasn't at all. I was just absolutely gutted for them because there was nothing else that I don't think we could have done, really. We did everything right. And on another day, Epia's shots would have gone in and they did at Orient, you know? So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, I think... Because in fairness, my reaction when the goal initially happened wasn't to say I wasn't fuming about anything to do with the free kick. You know, I wasn't fuming to do with the fact that our goal had been disallowed and then the quickly taken free kick and the nature of that all happening. I was annoyed that we hadn't defended it very well, but I wasn't thinking to myself, disgrace, referee, right? And you know, getting really annoyed by it. I kind of felt like going, fair play Exeter, for you know, doing something that was really good. Because, I mean, essentially, they went from the ball being in the back of their net to the ball being back in the back of our net within about, what, 10 seconds?
That's why they're going to win the league.
So quick.
That's why they're going to win the league, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it was great. And I will say that I think it was probably the best game that I've seen this season at Sixfields.
Quality-wise, I would say so. I thought it was two good teams going at it generally and giving it a good go. I mean, I'm going to get carried away. Exeter were good. They weren't like Brazil good or anything. We really should have beaten them, actually.
I agree, yeah.
But yeah, it was two decent League Two sides giving it a proper go. It was an enjoyable game to watch.
Yeah.
Would have enjoyed it more if it wasn't quite such a tense and nervous situation.
I think there'd have been more freedom if that was the case as well from both sides, because I think Exeter were desperate not to lose because obviously they'd bought this following and they'd just won promotion, and we're desperately fighting for promotion. I think take that out of the equation, and if this game be played in January, I think two quality sides play with freedom and it's a totally different result, probably three or four goals for each team involved.
Yeah, I mean, that was it, wasn't it? There were so many chances, like you said. I mean, in the first half, I think Exeter could have been 2-0 up quite early on. And then we've had, I say we, Josh Eppie has had about, a hatful of chances. Mm. Really, because every time he got through on goal, I thought to myself, this is a goal. Because after his performance against Orient, you thought to yourself, well, he's going to just go on a goal-scoring spree now, mm-hmm. isn't he? When he got through in those positions. And then for some reason, it was almost like he just didn't catch it well enough each time. That a couple of poor touches, the point where he was through in the area and he was kind of taking the ball across from left to right. And it just let the ball get ahead of him just that little bit too much and a defender got back into him.
It was one of those days for him, wasn't it?
It was gutting for him. I wanted to kind of just go and give him a hug and say, it's okay, one of them will go in. Just keep going.
He's young, isn't he? And I think, you know, that's why he's out on loan, I guess, and you have to expect it. He won us the game at Orient, so I was frustrated that we missed a few easy chances. Mm. But if you take a step back, which is unusual for me, by the way, but if you do take a step back and stuff, look, he still brought a lot to the game on Saturday. Yeah, he missed a couple of relatively simple chances. But I mean, you just have to expect it at this level, don't we? He's not going to be scoring two or three every week, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I know it's Monday as we record this now, so we know what happened and the results, and we'll get to that. But I want to talk about how we all felt at full time on Saturday first.
Oh, I was absolutely raging about Bristol Rovers.
Oh, really? That was your first thing, was it?
I was furious with... not with anyone other than Bristol Rovers. I was just like, oh, so irritated by it all because I hate them so much. And their smug little faces in the pub when we get back to watch it. Joey Barton had a
pitch invasion, didn't he? He was on the shoulders of...
Ugh.
I can't stand it.
Nothing I'm going to enjoy more. Us beating Barrow 1-0. And Bristol Rovers winning 4-0.
Just not quite enough, Joey. Sorry.
What a shame, Joey. Sorry.
I think, Neil, you were the same as me, weren't you, at full time? I felt quite dejected, I think, is the best way to put it.
I felt deflated, until I got to the car.
Okay.
And was it co-commentator on Saturday?
Terry Angus,
that's it. Thank you. He said a few things and I was like, he's right. You know, he's right. He basically just put it a bit into perspective and said, you don't know what's going to happen with the other results. I guarantee you they will still have a chance. If they win at Barrow, they'll get promoted and they will go and win at Barrow. And I was like, yes, Terry Angus.
On Terry.
I am on board with you. Thank you. You've changed my mood, young man.
I think
it was till I got to the car. I was like, oh my God, the world ended. But then I sat in the car in the traffic. I was like, look, we're still in it.
I just think it's one of those things that when we look back, if and only if it goes well next week, we'll look back and think that this is really valuable. But it's hindsight, isn't it?
Oh, it's turned into a great point now, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
well, I mean,
towards the end of that game, I was thinking, do I take a point here, you know?
Yeah.
So that was at the point where Bristol Rovers were 3-2 down, I think. And you think, actually, a defeat's going to be quite damaging mentally as well as towards toward the points thing. But I think after the game, the only reason I was deflated was because I thought Monday was going to turn out completely differently to how it was. You just think, oh, that's it. You know, you just assume that both teams are going to win and that's going to be it. And even you got to go to Barrow still and do it and hope and all that kind of thing. I just felt deflated because of that. And then Monday happened.
Well, that's
it. What did happen?
Manacle Mayday Monday. That's what I've named it.
Oh. Rolls off the tongue.
Exactly. Spent ages on thesaurus.com looking for another one. I mean, obviously, the games that were on, Salford versus Mansfield. Was that half 12? Did that kick off? I think it was.
Yeah.
And then Port Vale versus Newport at 3. Both live on Sky Sports, which is why they were on Monday and not on Saturday with the rest of us. And we knew, didn't we, going into those two games, that essentially we wanted both Mansfield and Port Vale to drop points. We could do with, I think it was said, and I think Terry Angus actually said this, and I think he worked it out, or one of the guys on Radio Northampton did, which is that if Port Vale had beaten Newport, it wouldn't be the end of the world because of the fact that they've got to go to Exeter.
Yeah. And having just seen Exeter play the way they did, gave
it was
a lot
the Mansfield one that was the bigger one for me.
Yes.
Well, they're both big, obviously, but the Mansfield one was more key because, I mean, they've got Forest Green, haven't they?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Who have collapsed.
Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed. Essentially, they're going backwards. They're going so far backwards, they might end up not getting promoted. It's not physically possible, but
League One just said no.
I'm not sure actually.
Oh dear. Well, anyway, Salford, of course, named two former Cobblers in their starting 11 with the amazingly wonderful Jordan Turnbull and Ryan Watson in their side. And it was the Turn Dog that scored first.
Bullet. Yeah, nice little wind-up of the Mansfield fans as well. Enjoyed that.
It was. I like to think that, and I know that this didn't happen, but I like to think in the back of his mind he was going, come on, Cobblers, this is for you.
Yeah, of course he was.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Brilliant. But that game ended 2-2.
Yeah, that was tense.
Turndog basically caught the ball in the penalty area, didn't he?
I've not seen it, so I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing. It was so playing.
Oh dear! I think I saw it on Twitter. A few people saying, "Well, he clearly was fouled.
He might have been pushed slightly, but I mean, still had slapped the ball."
No, fair. Was it a bit like how the free kick that we gave away at Carlisle? Was that Josh Mills where he collapsed on the ball and
He literally just he's been pushed. He's kind of been nudged a bit, and he's in the air, and the ball's just hit his hand as he's flapping away.
Silly Turn Dog.
Silly Turn Dog.
Well, worked out well, though, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Salford not making the playoffs. And
that's the way.
Poor old Sky not got their Salford playoff game that they probably would wish for.
Poor Sky. But yeah, that result, therefore, meant that Mansfield only managed to gain 1 point on us. So they moved up to fifth. At the time, I believe, 76 points. So they're a point behind us. And then at 3 o'clock, Port Vale took on Newport. And I don't know about you guys, but I had Port Vale at least drawing this, if not winning it.
Oh, they were relentless at one point in the second half. It was just utter chaos. Newport couldn't get out of their own penalty area at all. And then all of a sudden they randomly scored, didn't they?
Was that the winner or was that the first
winner?
Goal?
The winner.
That was the winner?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Literally, it was carnage.
Yeah, I turned it on for the last 15 minutes and I thought to myself, if you want any team to be defending a 2-1 lead, Newport is probably one of the best teams.
Absolutely right.
Because they're so good at just winding the clock down and they were loving it as well, even though they can't make the playoffs and stuff. They were absolutely loving winding the home fans up and running down time and stuff. They were having a lovely old time.
Shout out to the first goal scorer for Newport, Ryan Hayes.
Yes.
Born in Northampton.
Daventry boy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Brilliant. Absolutely love it when that kind of thing happens. It's great to see. So the permutations of that defeat for Port Vale are that Port Vale remain on 75 points and are sixth. So 2 points behind us, which basically means that promotion is still in our hands. Essentially, beat Barrow and Bristol Rovers don't win by an absolute landslide over Scunthorpe, we're up. Job done.
I think the thing is it, though, right, is it Brady literally, I've said this to you guys earlier on today, Brady's team talk has to be, you have to go out there and you have to absolutely steamroll Barrow. You have to get as many goals as you can. Because what we have to kind of take into account here is that you and I all know that they're capable of scoring 5 against Scunthorpe, right? So we have to go out and we have to do a job and do it really well. We have to go out and absolutely slaughter them, leave no stone unturned, and absolutely go hell for leather. There is absolutely nothing that we can lose on Saturday by just throwing everything at it. I want the kitchen sink. I want everything on that pitch. I don't care how we do it, but we've got to thrash them because then it's completely and utterly in our hands. What we don't want is to win 1-0 and then be waiting for the clock and for Bristol Rovers' game to end when they're 5-0 up. We have got to hammer them. And there is no better opportunity for those players to prove something, to go out and absolutely steamroll a team and say, right, that's why we're going up and you're not.
Two things that worry me are Barrow's little bit of an upturn under Big Phil Brown. He's got them going somehow. So they're going to be wanting to sign off well. But the other thing is Scunthorpe played a lot of teenagers in their draw against Hartlepool. I mean, it could turn out to be a good thing if they've got loads of young kids trying to impress and stuff. That might actually work out all right, but it might end up catastrophic.
My concern is that Scunthorpe are absolutely woeful.
But that's the thing.
Look at the table. They've conceded 83 goals.
Maybe it's 5-0, right? Last minute. Who pops up? Big Joe Nuttall.
Come on, Joe.
Is this Joe Nuttall, who apparently swore at some of the Scunthorpe fans and then made an apology on Monday about having done so. He got very wound up, did Joe. Bless him. Never mind. Technically involved in 2 relegated sides in 2 years in a row.
I just think that we know that Brady is pretty pragmatic, isn't he? He's pretty honest and he goes out and just does the absolute best that he can. And we know that he's got a fantastic, and the management team have got a fantastic connection with the fans. What I don't want to see is a passive 1-0 win, because that's not going to do anything any good.
Well, it might do.
Well, it might, but I don't
think we should put too much pressure on go out and win 5-0.
No, we don't need to. Just fucking win.
And I also don't think that there's really... look at the way we've played for the last 4 or 5 games. We are not going out just to go and nullify other teams.
No, we need to go and slaughter them.
So we are doing that. There's no reason to believe that right now that we won't go and play to the same level and the same standard as we did against Exeter and Leighton Orient. I am fully, fully behind the fact that we're going for it. And, you know, having, a few weeks back, me and you, Danny, especially saying about how it didn't feel like anyone was really talking about promotion. And we hadn't
heard that. Right, as you were.
Well, we were. Don't get, you know, hold my hands up. We are. But I mean, that was how we were feeling. But how good was it to hear Mitch Pinnock's interview on BBC Radio Northampton?
I love it. I love Mitch Pinnock. He had a lovely old time at the awards as well, didn't he?
It did.
He had a great time.
They all did by the looks of some of the videos I've seen. But the simple fact that when Mitch Pinnock was asked about, you know, what would happen and after this result against Exeter and, you know, the possibilities of the Monday games going against us and this, that and the other, his response was simply say, well, we'll just go and win the playoffs.
And that's the mindset we want. And Brady's got that ability to really rally, isn't he? Because he's got the fans completely on side. And I think what's different between the promotion, I don't know whether we can even call it a promotion campaign, but we went up. So the Keith Curl reign when we went up, because we were so disconnected, one, because we weren't there, but two, more so because I think Brady's got such a connection because of everything that's gone on. Calderwood's got such a connection because of what everything that's gone on and his previous tenure. It's like, and we said this at the beginning of the year at the forum going back, didn't we? We said how they've been afforded trust and time, and that's been so important. I think they've got our trust, and therefore I trust them to go out and get my team to go and play the way they should, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So who's going Barrow then?
I am.
Quick roll call. Jeffy's going.
I'm going.
I'm making a late decision. Yes, I am going.
Yes. Daddy, can we tempt you yet?
No. I'll be sitting in a wheelbarrow with iFollow on. For good luck.
If I had a wheelbarrow.
Yeah. How much would it cost us to bribe Martha to allow you to come?
You can do it. You can bribe her as much as you want. Try as you might. I had a big day out on Saturday. I enjoyed it.
Did have a big day out. Yeah. Lovely that was.
Loved it.
I will be in the non-cobbler's end.
Nope.
Interestingly, I did put a tweet out about that, and probably I would say maybe 20 to 25 people have responded.
All the same.
via DM, yeah. Saying, oh, yeah, I'll see you there. Could be talking all over again.
It's going to be one of those that people are convinced that they were there in 20 years' time. I was there.
Yeah,
I was there. Scoring six goals. I wasn't born.
The fact that there's only 400 tickets that were available.
It was very poor because it effectively what it did is not even all season, because I'm a season ticket holder, and not even anywhere near all, not even half, maybe even not even 25%. I think it's literally just over 10% of season ticket holders.
Jeffy was season.
How many? Bit more maths, please.
Jeffy enjoys numbers.
Well, I was just trying to do the jingle in my head. Yeah, it's just
that's great,
isn't
that
it? Just over 10% of us that could get tickets. Yeah. And not only that, it's if it's just such a shame because it's a 5,000 seat stadium, isn't it? They're not going to sell it out.
It's quite easy to do at Barrow as well, because the away end is like
it's a little cage.
If you're looking at the goal, it's on the left of the goal. There's nothing behind the goal, and then on the right is the home terrace. So you could, in theory, just we'll give that both sides. Although there'd be a gap in the middle, obviously, both sides to the away fans. And there's enough space for the other home fans.
Yeah.
The whole day's got Torquay written all over it, hasn't it?
It does.
It's going to be an absolute infiltration of claret into that town. There's going to be Cobblers fans on all sides. You're just hoping it turns out the same way.
There's a lot of people going on the train, getting there for like 11 hours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got to, I think, haven't you, in a day like this? You've got to actually go and do, get there, spend the whole day there and just properly go for it.
I think we're going to have to leave at four.
Go on, get up there.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave at 4 a.m.
Wow.
Well, we're going on the Friday, and then we're ridiculous as it sounds. We're camping Friday night.
Please, can you make a video diary?
Absolutely, I'll do videos.
I want to see you putting up your tent in time-lapse form.
Well, it's funny you say that. I've managed to locate one with a pre-erected tent.
Oh, hello.
Are you going to be racing back down if we win to Northampton to your roving reporters like you did last time?
So the reason why we're going up on the Friday, not the Saturday, is my one of my boys has got a game on Sunday morning, which is if they win, they get promoted. So I can't miss that.
Oh, yeah. Awkward. It's going to be interesting, isn't it? I mean,
it's going to be absolute butt clenching stuff from the top, isn't it? I'm going to be staring at this table all week. Not my desk, the League Two table.
Oh, right. That's a nice bit of oak.
Just thinking how it could go. Because the thing is, like, we can think about Bristol Rovers all we want, but if we don't win, let someone else in.
that's better. Because I don't even at the game won't even need to check. However, the
well, that's it.
Doing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, exactly. Concentrate on our game and how we're doing. Win that. Yeah. And that should be enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're checking up until while it's 0-0, you're probably still checking.
Yeah,
I think just in case. But I think we know if we draw, it's someone's going to overtake us.
Yeah,
that's
the Bristol Rovers will, won't they?
Yeah,
they're going to be. Yeah,
you would think so, but weirder things have happened, haven't they, in football?
You're right. But
probably not this week.
But
you wouldn't have expected them to be 3-1 down to Rochdale at the weekend, would you? So
no,
the last team Scunthorpe got a point off.
Was the weekend,
wasn't it?
It was. I'm just trying to scroll. It was Hartlepool
at the weekend.
Who aren't very good. Then it was Stevenage, who were also pretty poor. Okay. Before that.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no, it was Crawley. Oh, right.
Then it was us. Right, okay. That's fine. Oh, dear. Well, look, I just want to go there and it just to be a positive day. I want to take what happened at Six Hills on Saturday, which was, you know, pre-match I'm talking, and during the game was just such a really positive experience. Like, I was putting the call out on Twitter for this to happen again. Like, get people down to the ground. And I know I had a conversation with a couple of people on Twitter about the cost of a match day ticket and such. And I understand that the fact that, you know, £24 is quite a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I am not saying that it is cheap to go and watch football at Northampton Town. However, how good would it be if we could have that kind of crowd every single game at Six Fields? I mean, you know, first of all, it would just generate such a fantastic atmosphere. And the other little, you know, added extra for those people that all they want to do is see the capacity increased, it would kind of force the hand of the ownership to increase the capacity as soon as they could, because you're already now at the point where games are selling out constantly. How good would that be? I mean, there's so many good things that we can do as fans. And often I think to ourselves, oh, we wish the club would be more successful. The one thing that we can do to try and help with that is to obviously spend more money and not necessarily individually, but if more people went, more people bought programs, more people bought kits and all this, that and the other, then potentially there'd be more money in the transfer kitty and in the wage budget and all this, that and the other. It'd be great. And that's not to mention the fact that it was just a great day on Saturday. So if we can emulate that type of day, that type of positive day where it was just really good. I mean, I didn't see any trouble anywhere. Yes, there were smoke bombs, which some people will not like. Some people will think it's great and it's some sort of like football culture thing going on. But I didn't see any trouble anywhere. It was really good, really positive. And I reckon the fans that went that are like, you know, the ones that only go every so often, they will have walked away from Six Hills that day going, what a game of football that was. I'll go back again.
We also need to obviously point out that we had clappers.
Did have clappers.
We had clappers.
Love them or hate them.
Absolutely love them. Love a good clapper.
Like the bloody clappers.
That sounds like you're in trouble there, Jeffy. I've got the clappers.
Yeah,
that tractor, it goes like the bloody clappers.
Isaac ended up with about 6 clappers.
Amazing. I got low.
What a legend.
People kept giving them to him.
I mean,
on the clappers front,
clap it.
Gareth and Valerie from the patrons,
yes.
They brought the previous clappers from the 125-year anniversary.
They did, yes.
Game.
Yeah.
For good luck, which I am fully on board with.
Absolutely. Should we take clappers to Barrow?
I think we're going to take all sorts to Barrow. There's going to be inflatable crocodiles. There's going to be...
I'll bring the tent.
Bring the tent. Tend it. Pitch it.
Bring the home end. Just waving the tent above my head.
You know, like Graham Souness did. When Graham Souness planted that flag in the middle of the pitch at Galatasaray.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Neil pitching a tent in the middle of Barrow.
I'll bring me track.
They'll be like, I've been doing this for 45 minutes, mate. Come on.
Brilliant. Well, I've got just very, very quickly, I just want to say a couple of thank yous. First of all, thank you very much to Mike Fuller. And then to Malcolm and his wife, Mrs. Butler, for their generosity towards me this week. Thank you, guys. It's really appreciated. And I wanted to make sure I thanked you here on the pod. So thank you very much. I won't say what for, just in case. But thank you very much. It's very, very much appreciated.
They're just thoroughly decent people, aren't they?
They
so
are.
So lovely to spend the day with. And I spent about 30 seconds with each of them. And they're just wonderful, lovely humans, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And I mean, I just want to also just give a big shout out to everyone that was involved who is involved in our Slack channel, which you can join through the Patreon.
Slack it.
On Monday, during those games, we were all feeling very nervous. It was, you know, quite obvious. But the togetherness, if you like, of that community that we have was just fantastic. And it's great. And I love the way that we've been able to create this wonderful, positive, friendly community of people. It's brilliant. I love it. So thank you to all of them, all of you, for sharing that awfully tense Monday afternoon with me. It was really good. Moving on very, very quickly, before we go to a quick break, I just want to tell you about Get Pedaling 22, who are a group of Yeovil fans who are raising money for Mind in Somerset in memory of former Cobblers captain Lee Collins. They're cycling 500 miles in 7 days, visiting the 6 football grounds that Lee played at on the home side. They arrived in Northampton on Monday evening, and that was day 2 of their 7 days cycle, and they were fed by the club's restaurant team. You can follow their progress on their Twitter page, which is @get_pedaling, and you can also donate to their cause by going to justgiving.com/fundraising/Sophie-Cabell8. So that's Sophie, Sophie, hyphen Cabell, Cabell, and the number 8.
What a fantastic cause. What a lovely thing to do.
Absolutely. Time for a short break now, but when we return, Jeffy will this week perform a rap, and we'll dip into the postbag to hear your opinions on all things Cobblers. Back in a moment. Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me.
I got a brand new combine harvester and I give you the key.
Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. Jeffy's rap is, of course...
Not a rap. It was a World's Most Classic. Do you want to have another one? I am a cider drinker. I drinks it all off the day.
It's time for a little bit of this. It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant or just some fun at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in. Yes, it's time to dip into Neil's sack now and find out what you've got to say about all things Northampton Town. Of course, you can send your thoughts to us at podcast@cobblerstome.com or find us on social media where we're @cobblerstome on both Twitter and Facebook.
A couple of beauties in the sack. So we've
beauties.
Matt Nichol, or Nichol.
Nichol.
Nichol, Matt Nichol. He has caveated this with, this comment was written before the fantastic stroke awful results on Monday. Essentially, he's asking if we were to end up in the playoffs, despite our good run of form towards the end of the season, who would be the team that we'd prefer to take the third automatic spot if it wasn't us? And who don't we want to face in the playoffs?
Anyone but Rovers.
None of them. I don't want any of them.
No, nor do I, but not anyone but Rovers.
But if you had to, there's a gun to your head.
What, is this anyone who could potentially do it now or anyone in the league?
No, anyone that could potentially do it now. So essentially, we end up dropping into the playoffs. Who would you not want to face of the ones that can still
Bristol Rovers, Mansfield, Port Vale and Swindon is...
Or Sutton.
No, Sutton can't make it into the top three now.
No, this is... ignore the top three because it'll be us, but...
Well, he said...
It's who you don't want to face in the playoffs, though, isn't it?
Who you don't want to face in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
just give me Sutton, I think.
Just give you Sutton.
Just give me Sutton.
You don't want to face Sutton.
I don't want to face any of them apart from Sutton.
Okay.
You've done the opposite of what Matt asked. I'm so sorry, Matt. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Matt, by the way, we should clarify. Danny's had a food delivery during this podcast. And it has clearly sent him crazy.
He's thrown him out.
But he said,
they've forgotten his tomatoes and he's fuming.
He said, who would be your preference and who don't you want to face in the playoffs?
He asked.
Yeah. So I'm saying Sutton, meaning I don't want any of the other four.
Okay.
No, wait, he actually did ask, who would be your preference to take the third spot?
Yes.
And who would be the team you don't want to face in the playoffs?
God, give us an answer.
I don't want any of them to go. They're all awful. You've got Bristol Rovers. You've got bloody shithouse Bristol Rovers. Mansfield, who were just Mansfield.
Go on, rip into them. God damn it.
Port Vale, who might have
shite.
Lovely new owners, but it's Port Vale.
Shit.
And you've got Swindon, who are just knobheads. So none of them.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't want it.
It's an awful playoff group.
I don't think
it?
I'd want to face Bristol Rovers. I think Bristol Rovers is the one team I would not want to face.
Or Mansfield. I'll be honest with you. The fact that we've played Bristol Rovers and Mansfield both times in the playoffs previously. And okay, yes, we've essentially beat one, lost to one. I just don't I don't like the thought of having them again.
Yeah, but also, Port Vale have got that thing over us of that narrative of us finishing seventh when they finished eighth.
Only in your head. I don't think every time that we've ever spoken to a Port Vale fan, they don't really care.
They do.
They were all just like, no, we got it.
I guarantee you, if they take over us in third, they're all going to be shouting about that, about the PPG thing.
Is not going to happen.
No, exactly.
Got the next letter.
Good luck. Can I just give you my answer to Matt's actual question about who I would prefer to take third if it wasn't going to be us?
You can.
Sutton. Surely. Well, they can't.
No, they can't. Well, I tell you what, they can.
That wasn't the question.
Bristol Rovers, Mansfield, Port Vale and Swindon all field an ineligible player and get deducted points. Sutton could go up. There you go.
Well, we'll move on to the next question.
I do think it'd be funny if Port Vale don't make in the playoffs now.
Feedback for Matt is next time, perhaps ask an easier question because we're all pretty stupid.
Don't ask such an intelligent question.
Yeah, especially you're too smart for us. Yeah. The next one's right up my street. Robert Salmons.
Mm.
Dear Neil, he begins. What are your views on a good number two? And I'm going to be honest, Robert, a one wiper, if I'm honest, that's always a solid. But I think he does continue. As much as I like our current number one, I think a lot has been achieved this season by being solid at the back, which is down to Calderwood. Whenever I think of successful Cobblers teams, a good number two is essential. I agree. What's the best number two you can think of? Well, I've answered that. Does he mean so? Toilet humour aside, does he mean the best assistant manager we've ever had, or does he mean just in general?
Yeah, that's a good point. Brian Kidd springs to mind straight away.
So the best number two I would think of is, I can't remember his name, which is terrible, but the one that was assistant to Brian Clough.
Oh, yes. Peter Taylor.
Yes.
He played a huge part in Brian Clough's success.
He did. If it was a
Brian Kidd's a good shout as well.
John Dean was excellent for Colin as well, obviously. Colin John.
Technically, wasn't John Dean director of football as opposed to an assistant manager?
Doff.
Alan Neil.
How do we forget? It's probably the best number two we've ever had. I'm going that far.
Okay. Well, yeah, because without him, we wouldn't score any free kicks.
No.
We had the Neil specials.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Loved them. Really did. I was thinking, if you go back a little bit further, Kevin Broadhurst.
Yes.
Was very good as an assistant.
He was. It's a good shout.
Yeah. Maybe not so much as the actual manager. But...
Oh, no. Sacked way too soon.
That was really backed.
Absolute farce.
Yeah, I love Kevin Broadhurst. I agree with that.
The career that man could have got after that.
To be fair, Charles, you're right. No. I'm just saying. All I said, maybe better as an assistant manager. I didn't say that I didn't say he was a bad manager.
You said you hated him.
No.
was Kevin Wilson Atkins number two?
For a time. And Gary Thompson before him, wasn't it?
Oh, Gary Thompson. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, Kevin. When Kevin Wilson was assistant, did he have his tash still?
Yes. when he first came to us, he still had his tash.
Well, that gives him automatic points, I think.
Wasn't he player assistant manager as well, wasn't he?
Probably.
Oh, even better.
I always remember because I think he was going for some sort of landmark goal and he just kept playing himself and he'd never got it. I think it was like his 50th goal or something, or some sort of landmark goal.
Like a Sunday league manager.
Yeah.
The worst player, but keeps putting himself up front.
That's why I think Samo should have just registered himself as a player for one more game when he was manager.
Yeah,
just to get 450.
Absolutely should have done. Can I bring
it's,
to the table?
It's not too late.
Can I bring another one to the table, please?
You can, yeah.
Yeah.
This is one very close to my heart. Coach Beard.
Who?
Who
Coach
broke
Beard.
Up?
Coach Beard.
Oh, yes.
Coach Beard. Absolutely.
Yeah, Coach Beard. Yeah. In fact, I think Coach Beard wins it.
Oh. Yeah.
There you go. There's
your
answer.
No nonsense.
No nonsense.
Funny.
Yeah.
Ladies, man. probably should lose a point for that, actually.
Beard
gains a point back.
Yeah,
okay. Brilliant. Oh dear. Let's move on. Twitter.
Do you want some tweets?
Yeah, tweets. Let's have some tweets.
Tweet it.
Here you go. Here's some from the Twitter sphere. Ashley Hardy says there was always going to be more twists to come. Let's hope there's no more as far as we're concerned.
Yes.
We'll agree with that.
Make it simple, please.
This one is from Carolyn 811-22487, if that is in fact her real name.
It's like a barcode at Lidl.
Just shows what pressure is for all the teams. I didn't think Port Vale would win today, but I'm very surprised that Mansfield only managed a draw. A great opportunity for us now. Come on, town, we can do this. I agree.
Absolutely.
Yes,
come on. John Mantle, it's just like the cricket. What is a good first innings score? Well, you never know until both teams have batted. Mm-hmm. Felt the same this weekend with the football at the Cobblers. Yes. I agree. You never know.
Yeah, I agree too.
Great metaphor, that.
Gary from the Twitter. Welcome back,
Gary.
Good to see Gary back, actually.
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome back, Gary. Thing to think about, it's not quite in our own hands. We cannot affect the result at Bristol Rovers. A long shot, but they could well hammer the useless Scunthorpe. They could, Gary. We're trying to not think about that, though.
Don't want to think about your name.
I said it was nice, you're back. Get out.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's so nice to hear from everyone. And it's been one of those really good weekends, I think, where a lot of the fan base has come together very, very well. Really enjoyed it. If you've got an opinion on the Cobblers or a question for us, in fact, although please make them simple so Danny can understand them, send them our way, podcast@cobblers2me.com or @cobblers2me on social media. Danny, you're going to have to just deal with it, okay?
I'm
just
salty, Charles, because when my food shop arrived, not only was it an hour early and not in its designated slot, they've also substituted what I ordered, Knobbly Bobblies.
What?
For Fabs.
Oh, it's not the same.
Which is not the same.
You can't
yeah, you're right.
That.
Yeah, you're right.
Who did you order from?
Not the same.
Don't name them.
Other supermarkets are available.
Oh,
like Lidl. Where will we go next time?
Before we go to the NTFC women report, Jeffy, I just want you to say any two words for me. Doesn't matter what they are. Any two words.
The King.
Thank you. That's just for Matt Sammons, who was a bit worried after last week because apparently you disappeared for the second half of the pod.
Did I?
Apparently so. Matt was worried.
Oh. She was Googling tractors.
Speaking of Koike, that run where he got fouled, we haven't mentioned
honestly,
that yet. That was insane.
Epic.
I thought it was going all the way.
So did I. I was like, oh God, what's going to happen now? If he scores at Barrow, I'm just going to be all over the shop.
On the pitch?
Well, yeah.
How jealous are you, by the way, Jeffy, of Chris Freeman's picture that he got a selfie with Ali Koike at the awards dinner?
I got a selfie of Ali Koike about 6 months ago, so that's not, you know.
Trumped him.
Absolutely.
Donald him.
Just a bit of a random note here, folks. This is going well off task, but it's okay.
Oh, good. Is so it Cobblers related?
Yes, it is. Big good. Cobblers related, so bear with, because it goes around the houses first.
The Queen's
You know the Queen's Jubilee?
I do.
Jubilee,
yeah.
I'm calling it, but yes.
Yeah, the Queen's Jubilee. Right, yep. Well, it's a tradition in my street
hometown.
That we have
street.
A we have a street party every time there's some kind of occasion. We used to do it as kids for firework night, and we had hot dogs and all sorts. We do it for the Jubilee and all the kind of celebrations. Yeah. We do it for the carnival, all sorts, everything. I am bringing stand-up bingo to watch at town.
Oh.
I know. Have you paid Tom Cliff for the rights?
No, but I'm hoping
Tom,
that
because... get involved.
But because I'm a nice human, Tom will just give them to me.
Have you asked?
No.
Yeah, you're in dangerous territory.
You're going to have to call Tom, it stand-up numbers or something.
Blacklister.
Jubbly stand-up bingo.
There you go, perfect.
Absolutely.
That's
I'm
a stand-up
well
bingo I want to go to.
So stand-up jubblies. Thanks, Tom Cliff. Thanks, Tom Cliff, for introducing me to it. I'm going to use it in my very fine hometown.
Ask him first.
There you go. You should ask him first.
Yeah. I thought you said I thought you were going to say I'm bringing Ali Koki down. I thought this was going to be like a massive breaking news.
I think he'd be quite uncomfortable with the fact that he'd just be surrounded by tractors. He'd be like, "What is going on? Get me back to Northampton."
It'd probably be. No, I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, careful, Neil.
Carry on.
Time now to hear from James Wiles on how NTFC Women got on in their latest game.
The meeting between Northampton Town Women and Mansfield Town Ladies on Tuesday night was an exciting game. This was anything but the Cobblers come away with a 2-0 win after late goals from Alex Dix and Leah Cadone. Slow start to the game. Neither team really created any chances in the first half, with the Cobblers having the best of play. A few stoppages at the start of the second half led to most of us here thinking this was a one-goal game. The Cobblers finally made a breakthrough in the 85th minute when Alex Dick's shot was saved by the goalkeeper but rebounded in off the post. And Leah Cadone made sure of another important 3 points for Northampton when she calmly slotted home after running through on goal. 2-0 win may seem comfortable, but it wasn't a comfortable victory for Northampton today. But they worked hard and pushed right to the end to get a couple of late goals to seal all 3 points. They host Rise Park Ladies on Thursday before a big game back at Harpole against Lincoln United on Sunday.
There you go. Great results. Danny.
Yes.
You were there.
I was. I had a lovely old time, Charles.
Lovely old time.
Rounded off the weekend, beautiful. What a day. What a great afternoon it was.
And you also wrote a blog about it, didn't you?
I did. I wrote all about it.
Give it a plug. Give it a plug.
It's on cobblerstome.com. It's under the words section, I believe.
Indeed. It's on the front page as well, Danny.
It's on the front page as well, but that outlines better than I could say how great an afternoon it was. But the one thing I will say is the atmosphere around there. And I was saying on the pod, I think around about the time they were talking about playing at Sixfields, I thought, you know, get more games at Sixfields, get more there. But it's not until you're actually there in Harpole that you actually think, actually, there's a real great community feel here, and it really suits what they're doing. It's just such a fantastic and positive environment for them to play in. There's a lot of the families around. You can hear them play. You can hear them speaking to each other as well. You get more of a sense of how together they are and how much it means to them, how much they're demanding off each other, I guess, when you actually are that close to the pitch. Like, they're just willing each other on all the time. They're willing each other to win. They're really getting in the faces of Mansfield as well. That Mansfield was such a physical game, so to beat them twice in this week is a really good thing, I think, because it takes it out of you, I think, playing with such a physical team like that. And we've just got such great players. We are a team on the up. We're nearly there, and it was just a really great experience to go and be a part of that afternoon. Like James was saying, it didn't look like it was coming because it had been delayed so much. There'd been a couple of big injuries, one to their keeper who had to go off. I don't want to be rude to the keeper who came in, but right. I'm not sure if that was an actual goalkeeper or not. Which could come across really wrong.
Could have been somebody having to go in there. Maybe
stand
they didn't
in,
have a reserve. Yeah,
she didn't look massively comfortable in goal. So I think we were trying to pepper the goal with shots and things, but it just looked like one of them games that was just going to be like a 0-0 and frustrating and not finding the breakthrough. But it was just took one moment of class in the middle of the pitch from Rachel Mumford, who was outstanding all game. I think she got player of the match as well. She was so good in the middle of the park, and she put in a crunching tackle. The ball got played through to Alex Dix and she just did the rest. And And then we got one. I was just tweeting about the first goal and the second one went in. it was, and that was such a big win because we're really, really close now to promotion.
So. Sure.
Fourth tier. And I'll say about the fourth tier as well while we're here, Charles.
Is this the Newcastle?
Yes, Newcastle. Fourth tier of women's football, which we're hopefully going up to next season.
22,000 fans.
22,000 at St. James's Park to watch it. It's insane.
Did you see their banner as well?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
The way the lasses, yeah. Yeah, I love it.
We're really embracing women's football at the moment, and I am here for it.
I think in sports in general as well. Like, that you saw the massive boxing match of the weekend as well. Was it Katie Taylor?
Katie Taylor.
In Madison Square Garden, 20,000, I think, sold out for that. And it's such a, I think it's such a good time to get onto women's football. They've got the Euros coming up this season, this summer. Haven't convinced Charles yet to do it. It's all Euros to me again. But we might get there in the end.
I tell you what, mate, I'll do that if you do World Cup.
Yes, Charles.
Bloody World Cup.
You said
you're gonna be playing during the World Cup, Charles.
That's
you
fine.
Can do Danny, both.
You said on Saturday, Danny, at Cobblers outside, I distinctly remember it. I was sipping my beer. You were sipping.
How many
beers
had I had at this point?
You were halfway through your first one.
Right, okay.
And I said, well, we're gonna be doing the It's All World Cup to me this year. And you were like, I don't think we can do it. And I said, well, we should do it. And then you distinctly said, right, we should do it, let's do it.
Don't remember that at all.
There we go.
Yeah, and he said it.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Exactly. back to the women's game.
Yeah.
Charles. What was I gonna say next? Yes, so we are two wins away basically from going up now. So we've got four games left. Chesterfield, who are above us, have only got one.
Ooh.
The Slugs.
Ooh. So what? How far ahead? How far ahead of Chesterfield at the moment, points-wise?
They're 1 point, Charles.
They're one point ahead.
Yes,
and potentially can get three more.
Three more. So they can go a maximum of 4 points ahead of us. So we need 5 points, essentially. And we've got Rise Park next, who we beat 7-0 last time.
That's this Thursday night.
This Thursday,
isn't it?
Yeah, and that's at Spencer, Charles, Ooh. Not at Harpole.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting.
I presume that's because it's a Thursday and somebody else has booked the pitch at Harpole.
More than likely, yeah, because it's one of the rearranged games, I think. It's one of the teams that ran away.
Yes, it is.
Then we've got Lincoln United, which is a tougher game. We lost in the cup to them, I think, earlier in the season. But then we've got Leicester at home, who we beat 8-0 last time. So you think Rise Park and Leicester, best chances to get those. Them points in the bag and go up. Mm. And what an achievement that would be. You just feel it, a sense of when you're watching them and around, that they've got such a good community going on there that it means so much to so many people. And Lou and Josh have done such a great job, and you just want it for them so badly to end with a promotion, because they've took them through a couple of lockdowns as well and season cancellations, haven't they, as well? And you saw the team coming together during that, and you just want them to have something at the end of it to really celebrate. So it's looking good.
I was looking at the fixtures, and I think it's such a shame that the last game is away from home.
Yeah, on a Thursday night.
So. Because it's the 19th of May, and of course the 20th is when we hold the Wembley 97 anniversary event at Sixfields. It would have been amazing if that had been a home game. We could maybe have gone, right, everyone down to Harpole on the Thursday, then everyone at Sixfields on the Friday.
Yeah. Would have been great. To Notts County.
Should we do an away day? Away day to Notts County.
I mean, you'd think it would be done by the time we play Leicester. So
yes, you would.
That's Thursday the 12th of May. That's the last home game. You would think.
Big crowd.
If we win the next two games, then we're up.
Yes.
Because Chesterfield don't play until we've played three more. We've got three more games before they play again. So if we beat Rice Park and Lincoln with that, it could be done by the 8th.
Come on, let's do it. Get in there. Trophy.
And that fourth tier as well. You look at the fourth tier, you look at the pyramid. You think fourth tier, it's a long way up to the WSL still. But actually, there's only, that would be in the top 50 teams still. So that's essentially the difference in the men's game of being around about the top of League One. So there's not that many teams in front of them, as you might think.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Go on, the women.
Come on, the women. Brilliant stuff. Absolutely.
Oh, great to see Abby back in action as well, by the way.
Oh, yes.
She came off the bench.
Indeed. Brilliant stuff. Okay, that's it. That's your lot. Coming up this week, Sean Parrish is our guest on the next episode of our Wembley 97 series. And Friday, Fingers crossed everyone sees the last episode of the preview show of the season, hopefully. Thanks, as always, for listening. And if you do enjoy the podcast and you want to help us to keep making episodes, then you can join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to even more podcasts. And as we mentioned earlier on, our community on Slack. To sign up, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. It starts at just £2 a month. It's not an awful lot to support a podcast that you get every single week during the season for free. It'd be great to have you in the Slack channel. It'd be great to have you back with us again next week. I'm not going to say it, but it would just be great. Have a really good week.
One more to go.
Come on.
It's so close. Come on, lads. Come on,
drunk
boys.
Drunk live pod.
Gin.
Charge your phone this time, Neil, as well.
I'll be travelling back from Barrow.
Brilliant.
Come on, let's get
it done.
Have
a great week. See you on Saturday in Barrow, everyone. Clapper it.
It's a clapper.
Come on.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without